We focus so far in this lecture on biodiversity at the level of species. There's also diversity at the genetic level. Genetic diversity is defined as the number of different genotypes that make up all the variation within a species or group of species. It's the most fundamental unit of diversity, measured at the level of the DNA. Genetic variation can be thought of at many levels. Within species, or intraspecific genetic diversity, is what makes one rose white and another one pink, or one human have blue eyes and the other brown. Interspecific genetic diversity is the genetic difference between different species. Humans share many more genes with chimpanzees than we do with, say, pine trees. Movement of individuals from one population or geographic location to another can introduce new genetic diversity into that population or place. The movement of genetic information is called gene flow, and it's extremely important to conservation genetics. We'll talk more about that later in the course. Genetic diversity is extremely important. It creates the differences between individuals that allows natural selection and thus evolution to occur. For example, some individuals in a population may have genes that make them more susceptible to a particular disease. The survival and reproduction of those individuals will likely be lower than less susceptible individuals. So those that go on to form the next generation are more likely to be those that are resistant to those diseases. They are naturally selected to contribute more heavily to the next generation. The population will thus evolve to become more resistant to that particular disease. Genetic diversity also helps buffer against climate change. Some individuals may be well adapted to the current environment, but what if the situation changes? What if scientists are right that average temperatures will increase some 3 to 5 degrees within our lifetimes? The individuals adapted to current conditions might not survive the hotter temperatures, but if there's enough genetic diversity in the population, some individuals might by chance be able to, and thus allow for continuation of the species as the climate warms. The process of natural selection is harnessed by humans all the time. In agriculture, we deem the traits found in one individual favorable over another, maybe a bigger plant or a sweeter fruit, and we select the seeds of that individual to produce the next crop. Another example is soybeans. In the natural soybean population, a few individuals happen to be resistant to herbicides. Well, Monsanto jumped on that natural variant and cloned it, and it's now making millions of Roundup-ready soybeans. Now, modern genetic technology enables us to make as many copies as we want of favorable genes by a process known as cloning, and CRISPR enables us to edit genes. However, we must be very careful when tinkering with nature in this way. In an effort to produce consistent, flawlessly large ears of corn that consumers expect, crop breeders have removed most of the genetic diversity from the nation's corn crop. The vast monocultures of corn that dominate the Illinois landscape is made up of virtually identical clones. In fact, most industrial food crops are dominated by just a handful of genetic varieties, creating somewhat of a ticking time bomb. If a disease comes in that this variety is susceptible to, the entire crop could fail, potentially causing widespread famine. This is what happened, of course, during the Irish potato famine. The risk is very real and has convinced many countries to create gene banks, repositories of seeds of wild ancestors, and heirloom crop varieties as an insurance policy against a catastrophic agricultural disease.